Friday. There we go. Hit the mute button. Yes, the last one down at the very bottom. Right there. Thank you. It's Friday. Praise Break Friday, May the 27th, 2016. And Take a Limit Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. I just turned my whole monitor off. How did that happen? Yeah. Anyway, look, we have an outstanding show for you on today. On today, we have the amazing, amazing topic. Watch this now. Thinking about being a part of a praise team, you might want to think again. So it should be an excellent, excellent, excellent conversation. As always, it's your boy, your host, Ms. Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry. I ain't seen him since, seemed like since 84. But my brother in ministry is in the studio with me on, well, you know, with stand up stuff. He's in the studio on today. How are you doing, my brother?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Good. Why am I getting some extra, sound coming through your mic? Oh, yeah, that's why. Let's do that. All right.
Ambience.
Yeah. What's going on, Doc?
Nothing much, man. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm real good. As soon as I remember, figure out how I pulled my whole plug out of the monitor over here. I mean, the whole plug came out. But other than that, everything is well, man. Everything is well. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, nothing.
Nothing. No, that's all I get. Nothing. Oh, God. Anyway, look, y'all, let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're listening already, meaning you've already dialed in, and you're listening via your mobile device, you can just push 1, and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804, and you, too, can be a part of the show. If you want to watch the show, that's right. If you want to watch the live simulcast of the show, you can simply go to Ustream. Go to Ustream.tv, do a search for the channel Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, we are on Facebook as well. Simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can find us there. If you want to download the podcast of today's show, iTunes is where you go. You can go to the iTunes page, go to the podcast section, and look for the spot where it talks about podcasts, and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you can download and subscribe to our podcast. It is absolutely free. Don't cost you nothing but a few seconds to click a few buttons, and you'll get every episode of every show that we have done. If you want to email the show, you can do that as well. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. TakingTheLimitsOff@comcast.net. I believe the chat rooms are open. And, right, get a little juice back in there. All right. The chat rooms are open. We got some juice in my monitor here. I didn't have nothing. Now we good. All right, crooked, but we good. Amen. So what's been up, man? I ain't talked to you since last Friday. At least let me rephrase that. I ain't seen you since last Friday. What's good, now?
It's been that long, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Y'all just left a brother in here, man.
Wow.
I was in here all by my lonesome, trying to maintain, trying not to get us put off that.
How was that going?
Well, you know, you have to ask other people, Doc. You know, I say it went well. I say it went well. That's just my opinion on this subject.
Whenever I can be myself, it's going well. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, look here, y'all. it was good. You missed out. Well, you know, Monday, I don't know if you've been following on Facebook. This whole social media created controversy of, do you put salt or sugar in your grits?
I've seen that.
So, you know, just to get your because I already know where the Cardinal stands, because he made it a point to let me know.
Oh, really?
That he's a sugar.
Oh, he
on the grit type person. what about you, sir?
I've actually I've tried both ways.
Uh-huh. And your preference?
Regular or cheese grits.
So that means no sugar then. That's like cheese grits.
Yeah, I would do
the salt.
Just salt and pepper or just...
See? Yeah. Right there. Yeah. End of the
discussion. I mean, I'm not going to say it tastes bad, because I've tasted. The sugar version of it, but yeah, you know.
You want sugar, you eat oatmeal.
I'm just not.
Right.
If you want sugar, eat oatmeal.
I'm just saying.
Some people do it on their rice, too.
Yeah, I know. We're going to pray for them, too. Just saying.
They enjoy sugar a little.
That's a bit
much, right?
Yeah, I guess. I just wanted to get your take on it. I ain't going to harp on it no long time. We trust me, I went all in on Monday.
What?
Oh, bruh.
You were a little upset that they even attempted to put some sugar on
there? Oh, man, people went, like, all in. Like, brothers was serious about this thing. It offended my spirit.
Tried it?
I'm not a fan. I don't eat, you know, first of all, I don't eat oatmeal. So
you don't eat oatmeal.
Not an oatmeal fan. Not an oatmeal fan. I'm not a, what's the other one? Cream of wheat. Not a fan.
I eat all of those things.
Not a fan. There was another one. Was it Farina? Farina, right.
Cream of wheat.
Whatever. Don't eat that.
Malto meal.
Now, malto meal was the go-to when, because I didn't know how to cook grits as a kid. But when mama walked me through the process of just being able to throw some 5-minute malto meal together with a lot of butter.
With a lot of butter.
And
lot of sugar. A lot of sugar.
Right.
And they had this other one, Cocoa Wheat. It's some chocolate sort of hot cereal.
Huh?
I don't know if you've ever tasted it.
What?
It's called Cocoa Wheat.
That's
that. Yeah, that sounds like cereal, right?
That sounds like some Cocoa Wheat. That sounds like some type of off-brand something they put on the.
I'm surprised you've never heard of it. It's been
around
since I was little.
Nah, doc. Nah, don't. Nah.
Let me show you a picture.
I'm good.
You've never seen this in the store? It's right in the same section with the hot cereals.
Cocoa Wheat. He actually pulled up a picture of Coke, and it's literally C-O.
Is it registered?
No.
See, it's the cream of wheat.
No.
It's usually all in the same.
No.
Wow.
We good. We gon' Nah, bro. I ain't never heard of no
cocoa tree.
Cocoa wheat.
I'm all about the cocoa.
I did. Yeah, I know you out of. I can't go. I can't participate.
Come on, y'all. Send some emails or some Facebook messages, even tweets. You love cocoa wheat.
I doubt you're going to get one. You get some. And I ain't talking about y'all just sending something in just to be sending either. I'm for real. I ain't never heard of a cocoa wheat, bro. Never heard of it. Anyway, man. So yeah, it was you know, that was Monday's show, and then Monday show, it was good though. Monday was good. I'm trying to remember what the conversation was. Monday was it was Missional Monday. I have to go back and look and see what the actual I forgot what the topic of Monday's show was. That's bad business. But I can't remember. Let me go in here and see real quick. Oh, many churches are living in the '80s.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, Doc. Yeah. That was a good one. Almost had to take the show 2 hours by myself. Because I spent 30 minutes talking about sugar on the grit. But yeah.
Took it to the street.
I had to take him all the way, Doc. We had to go. We just had to do something with that thing. It was necessary. It was very necessary.
What's one of the things that stuck out to you about that article?
Being comfortable where you are. Being comfortable where you are was one of the things that stuck out the most for me. And the other one was failing to recognize the culture of the community that has changed.
Hmm.
That was a big one.
Yeah, that's huge.
That was a big one. So I was like, this is crazy. Yeah, with a Q. Crazy. But yeah, that was that. Wednesday was a little special too, because but it was still a good show though. Wednesday's conversation was where's the Wednesday? So we did 5 prices a leader must pay.
Mm-hmm.
Must be willing to pay. So it talks about a lot about sacrifice, and you saw these. I think you posted a couple of them from church leaders.
Okay.
You know, you have to be willing to sacrifice self.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to sacrifice self and sacrifice you know, some pay the price financially, spiritually, emotionally. You know, you got to be willing to get some scars to
get slow.
See, you missed out on that one. You, but the Cardinal did call in, though, because he got pulled away on emergency.
That's the one I think he said.
Yeah.
How did he call in?
Yeah, he called. Right, right. He was asking. So he called in for a few minutes. Yeah, yeah. And then we, ooh, bless the Lord for that breeze. Bless him. Bless him.
Man, we need a lot more of that.
Yes, okay. I'm leaving here going to look for that young air conditioner. We're not going to get up out this piece. We all right this summer. We ain't finna be up in here about to die. Up here like we on the bottom of the Amistad.
Oh, wow. Give us free.
Give us free.
Give us free. Wow.
Oh, yeah. So,
man. So he brought up some good points, too, right?
Yeah, he did. But what we talked about, you know, if you heard about the little 15-year-old girl in Fort Myers, Florida, that was hooking up like 25 dudes in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Wow.
And apparently she has a mental issue. But then some people have said that, you know, she gets it honestly because her whole family is that way. Yeah. We're going to just let that go. That's what the report said.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just kind of, yeah.
Done.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good time to be done. It's a good time.
If that becomes the case, I would say let's trace back the roots to the family.
That's what one of the reports actually said was that it was a family it goes back to a family issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
There we go. Man, it was like extra loud. Okay. So anyway, here's the comments. I saw this morning. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I saw the article from this article is in.
You got your Facebook open over there?
Not yet. Okay. Let me send this to you real quick. This article was in this site called the Chicago Reporter, and it's talking about Bruce Rauner and his pretty much his what has happened in the state since he has been in office, and there it is. I just hit it to you. It's amazing. And when I posted it earlier, you know, I had to post it, and I asked this question. I said this statement. I said, I know this is old news, but I have to ask the question again. Where are those pastors who stood with this guy? You didn't hide then. Why are you hiding now? I'm just
let
asking.
Me just see a little something.
I ain't seen nobody. I just haven't seen it, and. You know, are you still standing with him? Because if you truly believed in what he was supposed to do, why are you not still standing? I have not seen you with him. And I'm mainly talking about Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks, Pastor James T. Meeks, Pastor Dr. Willie Wilson. Those guys. I have not seen them. Now, I know they were given some appointments. Pastor Meeks was it something with the – wasn't with the toll road. It was something over education, wasn't it, Pastor Meeks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something over education. So in the article, it says this is amazing. He says, under Governor Bruce Rauner, Illinois now has the highest unemployment rate in the nation.
Wow.
It says the record is quite clear. Now watch this. Before Rauner, the state's jobless rate was in the middle of the pack among other states. And unemployment was going down before Rauner, said Frank Manzo IV of the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. Since Rauner came into office, unemployment has gone up in Illinois while it's continued to drop nationally. Okay, then it says the lack of budget, which is a defining feature of Rauner's governorship, is certainly a factor, Manzo said. Businesses value certainty, and they want to have confidence that the place where they're doing business will be able to provide essential services and provide education and higher education so they can get skilled workers they need. Another factor, he says, the budget impasse is going to cost future taxpayers. He says, today's unpaid bills still have to be paid someday by somebody. So if you're a business, if you're a worker or a family, you're noticing that. You're going to hear the burden of the mistakes that are being made now, and the cost of inaction going forward gets compounded. The tax rates will only have to go higher if we don't do something about it now. And this is the part that gets me. Rauner appears to think the pain caused by the budget impasse is worth it. He can bust unions, reduce wages, cut public services, drive state retirees into penury, and perhaps drive Chicago public schools into bankruptcy. He'll create a capitalist wonderland where the magic of free enterprise will take care of everything. Now, I like the way he closes out this article. He says, God bless him. He's a true believer. He says, no, as a wealthy businessman and a non-politician, Rauner has been impervious to pressure. He and his billionaire friends, Ken Griffin and Sam Zell, can easily fund his reelection campaign along with any number of legislative candidates. Other business leaders and Republican elders trying to talk sense to Rauner about the need for a budget have gotten nowhere. Then he says, bless him, he's a true believer, and damn the consequences, he says. He's not worried about his personal political fortune, because his financial fortune being an entirely different matter, he's a billionaire.
Yep.
He's willing to go down burning, and he seems to be willing to take the state with him. Now that's Rauner in a state. Imagine the same type of person running the entire country, Trump.
Good luck.
Yeah. I saw this and I instantly said, where are these guys at, man? I'm like, where are they at right now? You know, normally when you
go, he helps fund their project. You got to remember, he's a billionaire.
Yeah, because he put money in. He put what a couple of million dollars in South Shore Bank or whatever it was.
I don't know nothing about that report, but it's definitely an article on that.
Oh yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, he put money in the bank over there, saying that it was this or that. It's interesting because I don't see any information.
They're carrying current on with their plans, man.
Current information. Like, here is the thing. First appointments, James Meeks. Here's the one from 2015. Haven't heard anything since. James, chairman of the Illinois State. Meeks is the chairman of the Illinois State Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
He's the chairman. So I'm not saying he's supposed to fix what's wrong with in the Chicago public school system overnight. That's not going to happen. It didn't break overnight. It ain't going to get fixed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But you are the chairman for the State Board of Education. We ain't seen you, bro. Where you at?
What is it that they can possibly tell the people now, though? At the same time,
man, you ain't got to tell me nothing. Just stand up there with him. I want to see you stand there with the same mean mugs you had on your face when y'all talked about how horrible Quinn was. I want to see you stand up there with the same vigor, the same zeal that you had then. I want to see you stand up there now.
And there's a lot of people that voted for him.
Yeah, based off of these cats.
Yeah, and so. I mean, I don't really know what to say as it relates to that, man. You just can't put your trust in people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And without doing your own personal research too. Mm. I think that's important. Okay, this guy's endorsing this guy. So, what is it about this guy? Oh, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And you know what? I'm trying to find the right word to say, but what I want to say is this, is that nobody should be surprised here, especially those who did not vote for him. Now, those of you who voted for him and you're surprised, why would you be, would be my question, because the man specifically told you what he was going to do.
And he is sticking to his word.
And you have 100. To remember, there's this thing, and I'm not saying that all people who are millionaires, billionaires are disconnected from the real world of inner city sort of struggles and the poverty that exists,
right,
and how important funding for programs to at least help some of those kids get out of those situations, help the parents and motivate them to go back to get a better education, you know, things like that. Some people are totally disconnected from humanity, period. And it's all about them. It's all about them and their family continue to prosper and to make money. And they don't care who they burn to continue to ride that horse.
Yeah, and he is in a position where, see, this is the part that I think that bothers me that people don't get. He's in a position where the choices he makes don't affect him whatsoever.
Not at all.
Doesn't affect him, his family, none whatsoever, other than bad press.
Yeah, that's it. And you think he cares?
Not at all.
I mean, look at his track record. And it's funny that you guys will vote him in, but it's still funny, too, that you would vote a Donald Trump in, too. Because we make it seem like Donald's track record in business is great.
Yeah.
No man, how many times has Warren Buffett filed for bankruptcy? One of the top businessmen in this country.
Right.
So Trump can do a lot of stuff. He can create all of them jobs and people lost up in Jersey. We're not going to talk about that. Now
right.
You need to go back and really do your research.
Right.
The only time all that Trump does has benefited Trump. How many charitable organizations does Trump give his money to?
I'm sure he does because, you know, you need them tax write-offs. So he probably gives to specific ones. I'm sure they are whatever they are. I'm sure they're there because he got to have a tax write-off.
So,
he can't avoid that part.
Just give it to one of his partners. As long as it's a charitable organization.
And
you know, a lot of charitable organizations never even none of that funding is, unless they're in the neighborhoods,
yeah,
in impoverished areas,
it never gets back.
You'll never see that money.
Yeah,
you'll never see where that funding goes.
It all goes to manage the overhead of running said charity.
So, you know, it's absolutely no surprise, like the guys used to debate when I was over at CPS. Like, I'm talking about when we go to the break room,
mm-hmm,
almost coming to blows because the manager – now, and they was arguing over the whole Chewy and...
Oh, with Chewy and Rom.
That's his guy, And then these guys are playing a power struggle. So while they're struggling between powers of who going to listen to who, the governor or the mayor, this foolishness is going on. And the people are still talking about building Lucas museums.
Well, now, I'm glad you brought that up. Because there's two things going on right now that's in the city that bothers me. First was this Lucas Museum that the partners or the friends of the park are blocking the museum from being built.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed that there were going to be you're talking about some over 500 over 1,000 construction jobs,
mm-hmm,
that were going to be in place. And then you were talking about somewhere between 300 and 500 permanent jobs that were going to be there. And they arguing about, no, we need to protect the parks. Now, I'm all for grass and all of that and trees and all of that, but that ain't even the killer one. The one that's getting me now is the city of Chicago. And some people, the taxi cab drivers want Uber drivers and Lyft, mm-hmm, drivers to have to get some sort of licensing,
mm-hmm,
or what's the thing called that they have, the taxi drivers have, the medallions almost, where they have to pay this this absorbent amount of money so that they can drive taxis. But I like the commercials that Uber is running right now where they're telling you to call your alderman, because the commercials go – the commercial says, you know, I live in certain such part of the town, taxis don't come this way.
They don't come that way.
They might drop people off this way,
mm-hmm,
but you just can't walk out your door and get one.
You can't get a taxi there. Here's what I would suggest to those who drive taxis and are mad with Uber and Lyft. I need you to go and turn in your keys to your taxi and join
Uber.
What's happening.
But
probably make more money.
And they have.
Because you're paying for the vehicle,
yep,
and all of that. I mean, come on now.
See, they're upset because for one, you know, with taxis, most taxi drivers don't own their own cab.
Nope.
So they're renting their cab. So so part of their monies go back into renting the cab or leasing the cab, which they share with somebody else 9 times out of 10. Whereas the Uber driver, you got your own car. So you're your own business person. You sign your own. You get your own checks. Your money does not go through a third party.
Right.
It comes directly to you. And guess what? You go everywhere.
You can go wherever you your vehicle.
The commercial told me.
And you can turn around. You can turn down.
Right.
Like, where you going now?
Well, that's part of the problem. Well, no, Uber doesn't want you to turn down rides now.
They don't want you to, but you can.
I think you can, but
you can hit the button.
But you can. Well, yeah, you can turn off the. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You're like, nah, I'm
right?
Because actually, you're supposed to put in the location of where you're going. So when they pick you up, they know exactly where you're going. You can type that in.
Some people do, and some people don't.
They don't because they know.
Some people don't.
Be like,
but then I guess the question is, you know, the thing about it is. With taxis, you can go and get in a taxi and say, yeah, I want to go here, dude. Like, I ain't going over there. You get out of my cab, boss. And that's pretty much it. But with Uber, you know, if you say yes to the ride, then, yeah, you say yes to the ride, then, yeah.
I just cut it off right now.
But they tell you that when you're done, when you're tired, when you, you know,
yeah,
go.
You
and you can work anytime you feel like it.
Any time of the day.
So, I mean, but they're trying to put a tax. They're trying to tax these guys because they're mad. Because, you know, these guys are successful all over the country. Because
remember, the first fight was at the airport.
Yeah, and they lost that one because Uber is at the airport now.
Yeah, because for a long time, they wouldn't let them come in. So they had to
pick up
by the airport. You couldn't come through the driveway where the taxis
you
were.
You could drop off. Yeah. That was it.
Because when I was in Detroit, I was trying to catch Uber. And it was this whole, like, the lady, she was upset, like, no, they can't come through here. I'm like, you mad at the wrong person, and you just the person that's at the desk volunteering, and I'm going to need you to calm down.
Yeah.
Get your life.
So.
Like, you seem real upset about this woman. I'm coming to catch a cab. I got to go, you know, 30 minutes away from here. That is so crazy. And it's, you know what, it's like... because they're becoming so big, and I think their services are a lot more convenient. And I see with that sort of fight, you'll lose because I think everything falls on the back of the people who turns around who says, look, we need this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and what's great about it, too, is like even in places like the hood and places they won't go, you still have people who are in the hood who was employed by Uber who don't mind riding you through the hood.
They said the majority of the Uber riders live on the west or south side of Chicago.
Yep.
The drivers, I'm sorry.
Huge
the majority
market.
Of them. So they're not going, if I got to drive through there, I ain't scared to drive through that real quick. I ain't finna sit around and wait, but I ain't scared to drive.
Look. I've used Uber many, I've used Uber to go downtown, North Chicago, and come back same way with the same person too. He was like, "Yeah, just hit the butt."
Oh, so he's gonna stay local, right? So he stayed local.
Yeah,
so he could be the closest one. Hey, play the game, Doc.
Wait, I went south then when Norman came all the way.
That was a nice Uber ride.
That bill, I think I spent $100-some on Uber that night.
Uber,
I was gone.
Uber,
it got me where I needed to go to.
Hey.
Within 5 minutes.
And when you live in a city like, could you imagine like in a city like Chicago where the only place you can really get cabs are downtown in the loop or at the airport?
Yeah.
And even then, you know, you liable to get in it. Like, could you imagine leaving the airport and you hop in the cab and you say, yeah, I'm going on 87th and something, something. And they go, no, man, I ain't going over there.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh, you don't. You,
I remember when I was working at CPS, I'd get up real early because my shift was like 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
While the cab driver said, they had just came up on the blue line,
mm-hmm.
Clark and Division,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Went over to the cab. Oh, I'm on break right now. Are you serious right now? Give me a few minutes. I'm on break. You on break? Okay.
I said.
Give me a few minutes, I'm on break.
Give us free.
You know. I was like, you know what? I'm done. You know what?
Oh, God.
I'll walk.
Oh God. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I'm all for it. Uber, Lyft. What is another one? Is Uber, Lyft, and is somebody
there's
else?
A new
I think
one
it's the third
there?
One. Ain't it the third one?
No, I only know about the
it's
Uber
just the
and
two.
The Lyft.
Well, I thought it was the third one.
It may be. I only know about those.
Okay,
two.
I thought it was the third one. Okay.
Hey,
but, hey,
big shout out to Uber. Thank God somebody was thinking about the neglected one.
Yeah, I mean it's I think it's an awesome kudos to the creators.
Yeah,
you know,
smart.
It ain't in California, you know those guys, but you know I'm not surprised, and it works.
Hey, what if we can get cab services in all parts of the city, not just concentrated parts or the busy business part of the city?
Like tonight, for
Man.
Instance, if you're driving for Uber, you're gonna get paid tonight because it's the holiday weekend. First of all, Beyonce is in town tonight and tomorrow.
Where's she gonna be at?
She at the where is she? Soldier Field.
Oh, okay.
So, and you know,
I know not to go that way.
Right.
What time does it start?
It's
about seven
this evening. So I think I'll be on the north side.
You'll
be safe if you're working tonight. Still be in concert, so the roads will be clear. But by now 10:30, 11 o'clock, nah. But see, if you're driving for Uber today or Lyft, what they call it, price surging, because the prices go up like.
Yeah.
Plus and a half or something.
Hit you with that
you
price
surge tonight, and trust me, they ain't turning down no rides.
Oh no, they gonna get you there, so,
man. And you coming
gonna
from
get busted tonight?
Yep.
Where do you need to go? It's unfortunate that you got some crazies because I saw the one video of the guy. He just, you know, just started going in on one of the Uber drivers in the back seat. So,
yeah.
You know
what I was thinking.
Some sort of protection needs to be.
But you're in your own personal car, so you'd have to do that.
You,
and
you
can't
wanna
really afford to. A lot of people can't afford to put a piece of fire, you know, bulletproof
that's
glass.
That's the disadvantage to.
Yeah, you know, that's what it's right. Where it's called personal security.
Oh yeah,
and luckily for that driver, he had a camera mounted.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can buy those. You can buy those cameras for your car that they attach right to your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And they're running constantly.
Yeah.
The minute somebody
this is
gets
being
it,
recorded,
yeah.
sir. So
yeah.
just so
yeah.
you know. If you try anything or do anything crazy,
we
will prosecute.
Right. It's called personal security, though. But, I mean, hey, I look at it like this. You can act a fool in the backseat if you want to. I'm going to kill us both.
See, that's why I'm going to have some with the child locks. So if you try something.
That means they can't get out, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking with the cameras?
Because I drive you straight to the police station.
Remember, be careful now because they might say you kidnapped him. You wouldn't let me out the car.
I let you out of the car because you struck me.
Right.
Look, I was being neighborhood watch.
You know what I was thinking about Uber? I said, you know, I'm going to apply for me to do something, be bored, go get Uber, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to start. Remember the show on HBO, Taxi Cab Confessions?
Yeah.
I was going to start Uber Confessions.
What are some of the craziest things you've
right.
done in your life?
I'm going to have my just had a camera rolling the whole time and just be like, how you doing? You know, like, what's going on? You know, you ask me like, you mind, you know, we doing this, whatever, because you know, I think they had to sign a release or something.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I want to film it and create like a whole series.
Yeah.
Uber Confessions.
Hey, man, what do you think? What do you think about Chicago?
The Uber preacher. I'm going to be the Uber preacher.
Hey, man, do you know Christ?
Right.
As Lord and Savior.
Right. Mess around. They get out of my cab and put all, what is it? Because, you know, you rank them. And that's how they
get one star.
Get one star. That's how you get. And I think if you get, like, so many, once you get bad reviews, I think you get blocked for a while or something where you can't get no, like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how they keep up good customer service.
Mm.
So you want, that's why, you know, that's why the drivers always say, you know, give me five stars.
Make sure you rate me high, man.
And I'll be like, man, if it was worth five stars, I'm going to give you five. Now, if your car was funky. I've never been in a bad Uber, though. Have
me
you?
Either. Me
I've never
now,
been
I was in the Uber one time. This guy, he was kind of weird. You know, a little weird. And he had this weird laugh. And I was like.
You look nervous.
Because he started talking about the subway guy. And I was like.
Jared?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay,
like,
well.
A bit creepy. And then he had that creepy laugh like, yeah. And they caught him. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I've never been in a
uncomfortable situation.
I've never been in a bad Uber. I've never been in a bad. I've been in some funky cabs, though. My God, downtown, I've been in some stanky cabs.
Look. Man. You got to get in like this.
Man, you got to carry your own. Did they have like a personal Febreze?
I'm going up the street.
It's like a personal Febreze.
How fast can you get me there?
Be like, you mind if I light this incense in the back?
I got a candle, incense, and some oil.
I'm gonna light this Glade. Can I plug? You got to? Can I plug this plug-in in back here? You got an outlet?
Man, we need you to plug it right where the AC is blowing.
And blow it on you. Bruh, you mind if I anoint you with some of this Glade
some
oil?
Some body spray Glade? Some Glade
some
body
axe.
Spray?
Get some Axe.
I heard that was horrible on some funk.
Oh, is it? Oh, God, no. Well, you should, but you ain't supposed to
now
spray
you
it on the
fragrant funk.
In the words of George Clinton, do you want some doobie in your
Lucky.
Oh God! Okay, yeah. I do appreciate that, and I love the you know, I'm a little bougie. I love the Uber black cars.
Yeah,
I just love that.
Something,
man.
Something about those black cars.
Yeah. Can I get and because I'm I think the first I didn't know what I was doing, the first time I used it. So every time I called one, I was getting the Uber XL black something.
Yeah.
And people was like, "It's like Uber cheap." I'm like, "Hey, y'all say Uber cheap?" And I just went like 8 blocks, and it was $19. And y'all talking about some Uber cheap. Fool, because you getting the black car.
Yeah.
With the, oh, like, I ain't know.
Yeah.
I ain't nobody told me.
You with the surcharge every time.
No, I didn't know, bro. Nobody.
But I do prefer the luxury ones better.
They are nice, especially when you're going like, but, like, yeah. I mean, look at it this way. You taking an Uber... Like when anytime I would go out of town, I am one who always likes to, you know, I rent a call a limo to take me to the airport. I ain't finna drive, park my car. I'm not a fan of that. So I just normally get a limo. But now it's like, why go through that whole process, pay a limo company $135 or $145, you know, to drop you and pick you up when I can just get up at whatever time and call Uber. And the ride,
homie from the hood,
$45. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, bang.
And I'm still in a nice,
you know,
big SUV,
bang.
And all my luggage fit in the back. You know what I'm saying?
Like, hey man, can you get me here?
I know, right?
Can you get me downtown? I need to get to Canal Street.
I think that would be my only fear, though. It's like I think people would be afraid. It'd be like, you know, I'd be like, how fast do you need to get there? I'd be like known as the Mario Andretti of Uber drivers, the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Like, he got us there, but we
man,
were dead.
He was riding like Ghost, the driver off of Ghost Dad, hitting it on two wheels. Man, one time I was telling this guy, I was like, man, I got to be here, such and such.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, why did this seem like to me he cruising?
Oh.
Bruh,
oh, no.
You in the front. I'm going to need to smash on that gas.
He had the cruise control set for 35.
I think this dude was going like 55, and I'm like, dude, I got a bus to catch downtown. I need to get
there. He was doing the straight speed limit. Oh, no.
And I'm all about the speed limit.
Right,
because the Rod
is a speed limit kind of guy.
On the way here to get hit, man, I was doing about 75.
Ooh, bless God.
I turned the metal down a little bit, but, you know, it's a little...
Proud of
like,
75 look, is good.
Rear view.
You was doing 75. I'm proud.
Yeah, I'm
proud
of 75.
You. I'm proud of you, man. That's good stuff. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I just need something a little faster. I mean, that's one of the reasons I didn't get a motorcycle. I know on the motorcycle, I'll do at least 100 on it.
That's the one thing that's keeping me from getting one, because I know me. Y'all know how I drive as it is. So on a motorcycle, it's just gonna be a whole nother type of conversation.
I'm gonna need the whole body gear, helmet, everything.
That don't do nothing when you when your body hits something going 100.
Crunch. Can you?
And then you get people getting hit, and they ain't even, like my buddy, my best friend, Danny McGee. He got hit on his motorcycle. He was sitting still. He was at the turns, in the middle of the street, waiting to turn.
I've seen videos like they do
bus.
That purposely.
Yeah.
To a lot of, and that's crazy.
He got hit by a school bus.
Wow.
He was in the turning lane, and the bus ran the light, and
was it first student?
No, the
R&D.
It was whatever the company was. I don't know because I think they went. They wasn't around in business too much longer after that.
Oh.
Yeah, because he got a nice settlement.
Man, you didn't put him out of business, did you?
Hey, bruh, they broke.
That's
his,
what good insurance is supposed to be for.
They took that man's hip. Everything. Yeah, he had to get hip replaced and everything. So, but man, look at y'all. It's Praise Break Friday. Yeah, it is. It's Praise Break Friday. Look here. We're going to keep it light, keep it fun. We're going to jump into this article in a minute. We're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into some more conversation. Y'all ready? Let's go. Be right back.
Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on. Say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful he is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody, say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be. Push this point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? Just go to about three people, say he is wonderful.
I like that part. He said, has he proven himself to be wonderful? Is there anybody here? Go ahead. Pick him up. Put him down.
That would be the only part of my shout. Praise.
Like that.
I'll be in my seat like this.
He's getting a little bounce off. Y'all ain't watching on YouTube. He got his holy. He got that anointed bounce. That's that. Like your head hit. That's that Holy Ghost bounce. They don't know nothing about it.
Everybody else cutting the rug, I'm just like this.
You're gonna be like them females used to be in the nightclub. They was bar stool there.
Yeah.
They was the coldest in the bar. As long as they was sitting by the bar, they was good.
Wow. That is too funny.
I remember them all too well. You used to be them, see them in the club. You'd be at the club. And back in the day, and you see somebody in the chair, they song be on, they be just in the chair, just
turned
getting up. It. You be like, man, you want to get on the dance floor? Be like, yeah, okay. You get on there, I'm like, what happened?
Stool.
Be like, I'm more of a stool dancer. I'm more of a bench praiser. I don't really like dance, but I can bop. I'm a praising from the bench kind of dude. Gonna give you that head nod.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you that good anointed head bounce.
A bench praiser.
That's what I am. I'm gonna be a bench praiser.
Ain't he wonderful?
He is wonderful.
Wow.
Wow. So look at y'all. We have this great article, and this should be good. This should be good. And I like this one because it deals with. I'm sure anybody in any church, whether it be black church or even white churches now. Praise teams have had this encounter, so this is pretty good. I like this article. Different website. Website is called blackandchristian.com. Blackandchristian.com. And it's under the articles and pews. That's what it is, under articles and pew. What happens in the pew? So it says, thinking about being a praise, part of a praise team, think again. The writer is Donna R. Patrick. From the Workshop Ministries in Louisville, Texas. She says, one of the reasons King David is my favorite biblical figure is because he knew how to construct a praise team. David did not say, come one, come all. The scripture tells us that David appointed individuals to minister music in the temple. He says, First Chronicles 6:31. David knew how important it was that proper atmosphere be set for God's house. There was so much excitement over the Ark of the Covenant brought back to Jerusalem that, again, musical appointments were made among the Levites. In 1 Chronicles 15, 16, 19, and 22, only the Levites were to carry the Ark, just as God had done in Moses' lifetime. Many of our churches today have praise teams formed to stand before the people and minister music to the usher, minister music to usher the congregation into the presence of God. In this article, I will give us some things to think about when forming a praise team. I also hope to speak to those who aspire to be part of that team. I want to pause there because I remember you and I had this conversation. You were talking about, you know, your situation, like y'all don't want to practice, y'all don't want to do this, y'all don't want to do that. Then we ain't finna just be up here doing just anything.
You're somewhere and sat down. So you ready?
I agree.
All in or all out?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. He says, or she says rather, it should be understood first that the praise team must be made up of praisers and worshipers. Membership on the praise team does not make you a praiser. Oh, my God. Wow. You should have already made it a habit long before you got to the team.
Come on, somebody.
She says, why? I can answer that question with the question. How can you lead people somewhere you have not been yourself? Oh, my God. The team is not a place to learn to be a praiser and a worshiper. Mm-hmm. You need to demonstrate that. By the time you belong to a praise team, you must have raised your praise and worship to God to the level of habit. It has become your lifeblood, along with reading and studying of God's word. This requires not only salvation through Jesus Christ, but there needs to be an ongoing relationship with him. Our daily walk as Christians does not stop at the point of salvation. It is only the beginning.
You say that again. Somebody shout amen.
I know, right? I love that. Like, you don't get on the praise team to become a praiser.
I want to be a singer. The only people signing up for the show that just recently went off American Idol were people who were already presently singers. This is what they did. This is what they were known for. This is what they were passionate about. This is what drove their life. They always wanted to become singers. And so I think there's a misunderstanding with the formality of church. We think it's just, whatever is available, we sign up.
Come on, come on.
And I discourage people from doing it. I say sign up for what God has called you for.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know.
I think there is, I remember, and if Sharisa would probably remember this, if she's listening, I remember when we first formed our praise team here at Kingdom, the first group, and it was the older group of us, and it was myself, my auntie Monique, Sharisa, Shauna Simpson, I think my cousin LaJohn was even with us for a hot minute, and Denise Lavender, Priscilla's sister, and Bessina Carey, singing the choir. So it was an adult praise team. It pretty much was, and it was done. It was kind of thrown together.
Okay.
It wasn't well thought out. However, everybody who was up there had prior, had either been in the choir before, they had had to understand, at least the basics of, teach me my part and I'm good, So, they had the basics. And it worked. It worked itself out. We didn't know the ins and outs of what praise and worship really was. We just thought, we're going to get up here, we're going to sing something that the choir don't sing. we're going to sing in a style that they just can't sing in. And this is our chance to do something different. And knowing now what we know, it's a different level of praise. So, I remember when we did that, it was just, and people weren't prepared for it either. The church was, it was frowned upon around this piece. What y'all doing? Why y'all up there again? What you call this? What you lifting hands for? Those are the questions. What you talking about lifting holy hands? What is that? And I'm saying to myself, ain't y'all got a Bible? Right.
Isn't that in your hymnal?
Right. Ain't that somewhere?
Let alone in the Bible.
Right. I'm like, why y'all doing that? You clap your hands in the sanctuary. What is that? Like, y'all ain't.
Yeah,
they
singing that Kurt Cobb.
Yeah, they wasn't feeling that. We was getting looked at like real strange in the sanctuary. Yeah, we was getting looked at real strange.
That was their contemporary flow.
Yeah.
They wasn't ready for
that. Yeah, they wasn't. Not at all. Not at all.
They just come out of nowhere.
Right.
And bus out of the traditional.
Right, because the way it was, we followed after the devotion.
Okay.
And so because we didn't want to look, they didn't want us to make it seem like we were doing something separate. They actually would have us standing up there while the deacons did devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then had the nerve to want the deacons to stand up there while we were singing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Knowing
they ain't came.
That the deacons devotional did two things. Even yet still today it do two things.
What it do?
Two S's.
What it do?
Make you sleepy and make you say it. Either you're falling asleep or what they're singing has made you sad. Brought in the spirit of heaviness.
Sleep and sad. I'm going to remember that one. Y'all write that down. Sleepy and sad.
Now the spirit of...
The spirit. A deep
of
sleep.
Heaviness.
What is it? A
in
sleep
the
fell upon them like dead men. At the tomb. Stop. Let me move on. So she says, the writer says, praise team membership is not for the timid.
Mm.
In other words, if you're afraid to stand before the people and uncomfortable with open expressions of praise, then these would need to be overcome before you consider being part of the team. The team is a place of enthusiasm and high energy when warranted. The people are looking to you for leadership. There are many scripture references to praising God in the congregation of the saints. Among them, Psalm 134:2. That's a good one. Hmm. Psalm 107:32. And Psalm 35:18. Let me just grab that real quick. Psalm 134:2.
I will bless the Lord.
Yeah. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Yeah. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Now that's the ESV. And bless the Lord.
Mm.
Lift up your hands.
Holy hands lifted.
That, now you know why we lift them. Had you read your Bible. she says, there are individuals who want to join the praise team so everyone will see them. Mm. My. This is the wrong motive for team membership. Proverbs 16:2 says, in paraphrase, all of man's ways are right in his own eyes, but God weighs the motives.
Mm-hmm.
The responsibility of leadership is far too important, and it cannot be taken for granted. When leading people into God's presence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is vital. And we cannot wait until we arrive at the church on Sunday morning to ask for God's anointing.
Hmm.
is this really in spirit and in truth worship? God deserves more from us. Dave acknowledged in Psalm 51:6 that God desires truth from us. We must, in the days leading up to Sunday, spend time in God's presence, allowing him to prepare our hearts to come before the people. As a praise team, we should be examples of God's holiness. The word says we are temples of the Holy Ghost, and he dwells within us. Wow.
That's what I stand on. I say it, you know, it's a leading up to.
Yeah.
To what? To the experience, the overflow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've already been drenched.
Yeah.
In God's presence, in God's word, and I think oftentimes we've forgotten about that, and we only look at, you know, the part that's a part of the curriculum, which is show up and practice.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you practicing outside
mm-hmm.
of practice?
Mm-hmm.
Are you practicing giving God praise? Are you practicing worshiping God? Are you practicing giving yourself away in prayer to God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you practicing reading, studying, and meditating on God's word? Because I think that brings forth a whole nother person when Sunday morning comes.
Yeah, You're absolutely right, and I like what she said. Where she says that you can't wait until you get to church to start it. And as the leader, you set the motion. And I've heard this said so many times. Even though we have people in our praise team, who are, you know, the leader of that particular praise team, the pastor of your church should be the lead worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
He sets the example for praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does not have that spirit, and that's why so many churches, in the words of like Cornelius Parks told us, he was made given the title of worship pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, maybe Pastor Acri didn't have that wasn't part of his process.
Yeah.
That wasn't part of his gifting of exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
So you get somebody who does have that gift and you allow them to flourish in that gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then even though that may not be your gifting, you still need, because it's not your gifting,
you still have to release.
You know, you need to
set the tempo,
you
man.
You still set the tempo.
Like, you need to, okay, you're not a singer. I'm not a singer either.
Mm-hmm.
But guess where I was? I was in practice.
Okay.
I was watching everything that they did.
Yep.
Because there wasn't a leader, so guess who assumes the position?
Yep.
Me, automatically. And
yep.
So because I understand and kind of know from God who is the visionary,
yeah.
the vision of
yeah.
what he wants, how he wants the house set
yeah.
in order, I can turn around and share that information with them. You need to engage the audience. You
yep.
should not be looking up at the sky. You know, you shouldn't be looking off. You should. We need to believe that what you are saying, you believe it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you cannot project that off into a crowd of people, then guess what? What are we doing here?
And I'll take it a step further. If you appoint somebody, let's take Cornelius Parks, for instance. So he said he was appointed the worship pastor at his church before he became a pastor of his own church. If he is up exhorting and giving God praise in that position as worship pastor, what you can't have is his pastor behind him with his head down or distracted looking at something else, because now it's like, well, yeah, I hear him, but pastor ain't into it, so
yeah.
let's move on.
Yeah. The pastor has to be totally engaged. That means
yes.
you've got to clear your mind.
Yes.
You have to be focused on what's going on in the
yes.
service,
yes.
you know, and making sure that you do your checkpoint.
Mm.
You know, I call it checkpoints. You know, make sure, you know, the minister of music has everything that they need. Make sure that all of the people are in place for Sunday. You know, make sure you create sort of a culture of saying, hey, look, if things aren't in place, even come up to Sunday service.
Yeah.
You know, if you cannot make the adjustments
mm-hmm.
that are necessary,
mm-hmm.
where it takes for me to come in and make some adjustments, then I would expect for you to make those changes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Let's keep going. She says, there are individuals who aspire to be a part of the praise team because they sing well. If I had to choose between the habitual praiser and the great singer, I'll take the habitual praiser. My God. Yeah. The great singer may prove more concerned about how he or she presents to the people rather than how he/she presents to God.
Yes.
It is the principle of image versus integrity.
Mm.
Image says, how did I sound to the people? Integrity says, how did I sound to God?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
The praise team should never function to bring attention to ourselves, but
yeah.
to God. Ooh, this is wonderful.
Yes, sir.
She says, I should point out here that music is not the chief function of the praise and worship portion of the service.
Come
anyway.
On, somebody.
If we had no music, the worship of God ought to still be job number one. But since we do use music as a vehicle into God's presence, we must be very careful that neither our music nor our team members are there merely for outward showing. While the Word of God offers several references to singing, John 4:24, our chief criterion for worship, makes no reference to it at all. Although throughout the Church of Jesus Christ at large, we have become so conditioned and so traditionalized to the extent that we have come to believe music and worship are synonymous. They are not. Singing all the great songs by the most talented and well-known artists does not guarantee worship. Amen. You ain't never lied.
Come on, preach.
Because you can stand up there and hit every note that the Kurt Carr and the Kurt Carr singers hit, and that the Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City people hit, and you can hit every note and sound just like them and look around the room and be like, y'all didn't just hit that?
Y'all didn't feel that.
That's
because it didn't come from...
Right.
What was here...
Right.
...was not in the right place.
Yeah.
It was heart.
Yeah.
But it was focused on the outward show.
Yeah.
But the heart should have been focused on, as I stand before you, God, I want to make sure that these words that I speak from my lips, they are true.
Yeah.
First and foremost, they are true, and I believe them. And so I'm singing these praises in this worship session to you and to you alone.
Yeah, that's why when we go back way up, further up to the top, and I didn't point this out when she said about you can't wait till Sunday. I like when she said this has to become habit. She says, along with reading and study of God's word.
Of God's word, yeah, yeah.
So she says, so think about this. You're singing a song, but you don't understand the significance of it because you don't know the word of God.
Yeah.
See, it's different.
You can't tie the two together.
You got to
see correlations.
Because when there's that division of you not knowing who you're truly singing about, then I'm just singing words. And I'm just playing music because I love to see anointed musicians who play a song and get lost in the worship. They don't sing.
Mm-hmm.
They get lost in the worship of their talent. Because
mm-hmm.
because singing and playing instruments, those are not spiritual gifts. They are gifts, but they're not spiritual gifts. Their talent, and God uses that talent for His glory. But I love to see a musician just allow the Spirit just to use him or her at an organ or on a guitar or on a keyboard or drums or whatever it is. It's an amazing thing to see,
yeah.
You know, because you literally see them. It's like they're making the instrument say what their mouth can't.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And it takes you to a place, and then you can actually see God in them,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, wow. And then you hear them play, because I've heard certain musicians play, and they play. I can hear them play the same song twice. I heard them play it when you were full of the Holy Ghost, and I heard them play it when you just had to play it.
When you was full.
Yeah, and you could tell the difference. And singers know that. Praise team people will tell you. We know the difference when we say, you know, I'm just gonna sing to get through this.
The oil wasn't on it.
What no grease, Doc. What nobody shining. It was nobody greasy standing up there. We was ashy.
Yeah, and that's so key, man.
Yeah.
Is that we have to get out of being caught up in the image of things.
Yeah.
And be more interested in the integrity of the performance. Is it for people? Or is it for God? So am I a God pleaser or am I a people's pleaser?
I mean, it's the same thing goes with preaching.
Oh.
You can go down to what is the people? Murphy's Robes or whoever the people are, and get you the most elegant robe there is with all of the extra accoutrements.
I'm considering that.
I'm just saying, go get you all that stuff and then get up there and put people straight to sleep.
Slay.
Sleep. Don't say slay, please. Don't say the word slay. But put people straight to sleep. But then somebody come along in some True Religion jeans and some Timberlands and a polo shirt.
Set
the house on fire. And you'll probably be the one sit back. Well, that would have been real good if he just would have had on the road. Really? Really?
Foolishness.
No, that's what you call stupid.
Foolery.
Cole, you stupid. I'm just like, it makes no sense. But we get so caught up in the appearance.
Yeah, we take away from the experience by finding something that wasn't up to Cole.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She says,
I guess the sermon would have been a lot better had you meditated on it.
Mm.
Why are you talking about my man with the Timberlands?
Right, right. He didn't meditate.
Mm. You spent more time trying to find that robe than you did reading that text,
man. And I'm gonna tell you right now, there's been plenty. I remember the first time. I think it was the first time I was scheduled to preach upstairs, and pastor forgot his suit jacket or something. So because he forgot his suit jacket, I think you were here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he forgot his suit jacket, he didn't want to sit up there with his, I think he had one of them Reverend Ray turtleneck, you know, mock turtleneck things on. So he didn't want to sit in the pulpit with just his turtleneck on. So he was like, little brother, we're going to have to wear robes today. Now, that threw me completely because I wasn't prepared for that. I'm like, dude, that's the last thing I'm thinking about when I'm, you know, when you're getting ready to preach is what I got. I already know what I'm wearing in church, so that's it.
Right.
Now I got to get here and put on something else. So now it's like, this is, you know, I mean, it's, you know, and you know this from experience. Ain't it hotter up there? I don't care how cold it is. The church, the heat could be off. But when you're standing and get thinking ready to preach, it gets real warm.
Yeah, it's a little elevated from from down there.
It's just something about it. Man, you like a bead of sweat ran down my back. I said, nah, this here ain't going.
It's hot.
Man, you be on the, in the hot chair.
Extra layer of clothing, man. It's
restricting.
I mean, especially as men, we already, you know, put on the tank tops,
right,
and then got on our regular shirt.
Because I don't wear a shirt without a tank. That's just a,
it's just the right thing to do.
My mama said, don't you come out the house without a T-shirt on.
You better have on a V-neck,
man,
a tank top. You know.
Something.
No, nah, don't be out there like that,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good.
And what about we just wear our...
Here you go. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead. What?
Like some of the brothers out here, they... You tell them, look, they're like, look, you can only wear one shirt, so choose. Either it's going to be the white tee,
uh-huh,
or it's going to be the tank top.
Oh, Lord.
It's not both.
So you can't put the tank top on under the white tee.
I think it make a lot of sense, but when you see it, you'll be like, he wasn't true. It's either or. It's not both.
Oh.
In the little brother culture.
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She says, personally, I could never support volunteerism when it comes to the praise team membership. Mm. Wow. Prospective praise team members must be interviewed, taught, and made to understand the critically important role they will play in standing before the people to minister praise and worship. No matter how willing potential members may be, proper motives among these individuals must be well determined prior to making decisions on whether they will be a part of the team. Our responsibility to lead God's people into his presence is much too important to leave it to individuals who don't have a heart of worship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let me say
interview.
This. Interview.
Taught, that means that you are being mentored, discipled, and made to understand what your critical role is.
Yeah.
And I love it how she continues to say, this is not a people thing, this is a God thing.
It ain't personal.
Don't come to church thinking that people owe you something because you sing. Guess what?
Wow.
Romans 1 and 2 says that is your reasonable service.
Come on now.
To God,
come
not
on.
To man.
Come on.
And so when people start thinking, you know, they better be glad that I showed up, you stay home. That's what you do. You stay home till you get your attitude right and you get in the right spirit. Because whenever you come to church and you feel like you've come to service to satisfy or appease people, guess what? You just miss God.
Yeah.
So we need to get that in order. You know
That's
what?
Good.
I'm printing this article out.
That's good.
You know, we really need to know this is not a game. And I love, and you can tell she's a real minister of music.
Yes.
Because she teaches and she understands how important it is for people to engage a crowd from a heart from God, not from a heart of people.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. I love it. I think it's amazing. I like also the fact that I thought about this in my own head. This is another thing that would probably be radical and not normally done. If I was to take over a church that already had an established praise team and choir, matter of fact, this is just me. I'm interviewing my Sunday school teachers and my Bible study teachers and my choir and praise team members first.
Everybody,
out the gate.
You know,
out the
they're
gate.
All on that program.
Out
and
the
so,
gate. And
how do you not assess that?
And I want to know.
That's a little controlling.
Yeah, no, it's
but
not.
But if you think about it, every leader led differently.
Yeah.
And they understood the people who were around. Even the Bible says, know them that labor among you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So know if you got some bad sales, a part of a wholesale. Guess what you need to do? We need to reexamine your commitment,
yeah.
not to a church building.
Yeah.
Your commitment to God. And that's why it's important to interview people. You get to learn what people know
yep.
and what they don't know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then you get to learn the biggest thing you'll ever learn is where their heart really is.
And it's not so much for me to find out your level of talent. Yes, I do want to know whether or not you can sing. Because here's the deal. You can have a great heart for God, but and I'm not talking about having an average voice. Because that's fine. You can still be you. Now, if you can't if singing just does not come from you, then no, you can't be a part of this.
I will discourage you.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you to sit. You
Let's
know.
Find out where you belong.
But to see, the church is the one place where that type of discouragement is frowned upon.
Oh, okay.
Because you need to tell people, and only in church do you get any and everybody to put a microphone in their hand and try to lead a song.
And then my question becomes, what is the standard?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then your answer would be, well, there is none. We're doing it all to the glory of God. Even God set things in order so that they would be done
yes.
decently
yes.
and in order. When
yes.
God set up singers
yeah.
in the Old Testament,
yeah.
everything that he set in the house,
yeah.
he made sure that it functioned in its place and it had the gift to function wherever he put it. And so, you know, I understand we don't want to discourage people, but you also should not encourage people to do something that they're not gifted to do.
Come on now.
You know, please,
uh-huh.
if you guys have not picked that book up, Your Gifts,
mm-hmm.
it talks about it, man, wherever God has called you to, he's equipped you to.
Yes.
You know, and wherever he's equipped you to, and he also talks about stuff like, don't go somewhere where God ain't called you to be.
Oh my
Lord. Don't do stuff that God has told you not to do or hasn't given you permission to do. Because what you'll find out, he said, these are some of your most miserable Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because they're operating outside of their gifting.
Mm.
You know, and so when you, and he said, look, you need to tell people that's not your area. It's not. Baby, you can't sing. Bruh, you can't sing.
Is this it?
Awesome.
Is this the
yes,
book?
Sir. Yes, sir.
This it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't add that to
that's my... the book. If they were going to be doing something,
mm-hmm.
that's the book they should be, because it starts with the practical. It starts asking questions. The most common question: what is a gift? What is a spiritual gift? Well, you know what most people told me: prophet, evangelist, blah blah blah. That's not what a spiritual gift is.
Wow. Wow.
So, how can you operate in something you don't know what it is?
Just about it.
Done.
You know,
you'll love that.
You
book,
know, I
man.
Don't play. You know, yeah. If it's a digital book, y'all know
straight
I don't.
To the Kindle.
Man, I have no problem buying some books that's digital.
Man, the book is so good. I started to post Facebook excerpts of it.
Oh wow.
You
wow.
know, like page such and such in your gift book. And I think I'll probably still do that, because we're on chapter 4, and the book said, look, don't run through the book, and we do one chapter a week until
okay.
And so it's 12 weeks.
Okay.
I've extended it to 12 weeks. It's an awesome resource, and even talked about all of the offices now: prophet, evangelist, pastor,
mm-hmm.
teacher, exhorter, mercy giver.
Yep.
It's mm-hmm. it's a couple of different gifts that are in there, and it give you pros and cons of how people are who are related to those. And so we need to know that stuff, man. Like the woman is talking about here, stop putting any and everybody in your praise team.
Oh, she finna get it. She finna hit on it right here too on this part. She says, finally, there needs to be unity and mutual love for one another among the team. Dissension among the members will prove obvious to the congregation. Even though our function is not to be seen, we are seen by many. Many sets of eyes on any given Sunday, and our projection needs to be that of oneness. We should demonstrate our love for God and for our fellow team members. Praise team members should pray for, support, and be there for one another. This is why it is important to know the heart of prospective team members, know something of their salvation experience,
wow.
and how their lives reflect the mind of Christ, And this is why aspiring praise team members should be prayed over and chosen by the Holy Spirit. My.
Now that just messed up everybody.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can.
Yes. And I think it's important. The reason why I think it's important, and I've learned this, and I'm still learning this from different circles, different nationalities, and what their focus is. And so, if you know basic stuff, you know, share your salvation experience with us.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't. You don't know what your salvation experience is?
Mm.
Oh. And then to continue to get them to reflect on Christ and what he's done, and not just to say we're going to keep talking about him being born and beaten, you know, buried and then resurrected.
On the third day.
Hebrews, where it talks about when we go past the foundational teachings of Christ and we move on to really growing in Christ. What does that look like? I love the part where she says, as a unit, as a team.
Oneness.
One thing that is so critical is prayer.
Yep.
It's prayer. And, and I often encourage, you know, even before people start, you guys need to be in a circle and you need to take the time. And this is called discipling people through prayer. Everybody in that circle should take a couple of seconds or minutes to pray for everybody else in that circle.
Amen.
And so everybody in the praise team, if you did not learn how to pray, when you signed up for this, guess what came with the package?
That's probably the ability to
learn how to pray.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are important things, and we don't do enough of it. You know, but have you asked anybody else around that room, are they praying for us?
Yeah.
You know, and can you pray? We often assume people know how to do everything. Sit down and have a conversation.
Because you've been in church for a long
time. Or put them on the spot and say, pray for us.
Because you've been in church 30 years. You've been in church 30
Letting
years.
Everybody else do stuff.
Absolutely.
While you was a bench member.
Absolutely. No. Absolutely.
We don't promote bench member activity over at the NOC. But we do promote that everybody grows in Christ according to how God has purposed and called them to live. And we're going to push you.
Amen. Let's keep it going. She says, if you are a musician, worship leader, charged with building or rebuilding your praise team, seek the Lord first and foremost. Allow him to show you those persons who would make for strong, solid unit to minister in your church. If you are a praise team hopeful, please be prayerful about this. Be honest with yourself and God, and consider whether this is the ministry God has led you into. Let me read this real quick. Donna Renee Patrick is the founder of Word Shop Ministries, based in Louisville, Texas. The focus of the word-based teaching ministry is to help God's people understand the true meanings of praise and worship, and how this knowledge impacts our spiritual walk. She's currently the minister of music at Emmanuel Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas. Wow.
I wonder if we can get her on the show, huh?
Man, call I know, me. Right? See if we can get her on the man.
That would be awesome. And you know, is a 2000 and well, yeah, no, this is copywritten, so
yeah, we can fly. You know, we can fly people in, man. We can get them Southwest.
Yeah, fly people in.
Yeah, Southwest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is 2003
I was
article.
Told we got a Southwest budget. You know, I thought we was gonna, you know, mega bus, but we got.
Hey, I think I've been on a megabus.
I'm gonna need you
twice.
Stay off the megabus, doc.
Man,
they keep catching
that
fire.
Upper,
they keep catching on fire.
That upper deck, like the upper room.
Really? Did the deck? Yeah, and fire set amongst them. Yeah, you're right. Like the upper room. Yeah, landed on them like cloven tongues. Yeah. Yeah,
mechanical issues.
Yeah, a lot of them. I think this is good. I think because and it does not just apply to praise teams. I think it applies to if you take your music ministry as a whole. The music ministry of the church is almost as important as the preaching, because everybody's not going to get, you know, they should work hand in hand.
Yeah.
So that's why the minister, and this is why ministers of music are so important. This is why ministers of music are so important, because now everything is joined together. So you can't have this is where churches get in trouble. You have a praise team that's on 10 and a choir that's on 4. And there is no communication between the two. There's no joint effort between the two.
Here's what I would think would make sense, especially like if it's a manageable group on both ends, is that there should be only one praise and worship leader or one minister of music, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, you know, because if that person sets the tempo in the praise and worship area, he'll set the president and the choir ministry or department as well. You know what I mean? And so now there is an inconsistent sort of up and down flow. It's the same because the person who is leading both groups is the same person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so,
but that's why your minister of music, like your minister of music should know what the praise team is going to sing that morning and what they're capable of doing. And then based off of, and because your minister of music.
Well, why isn't the minister of music inside of the praise and worship team rehearsals?
Again, this is where division happens in the church. But it goes a step further. The minister of music and the pastor should have a connection. Because if the pastor is saying this month's theme is whatever, then this is where I kind of need you all to gear the songs for this month.
But that's only if you're intentional. If you just say, hey,
here's
look,
the thing,
you're not looking to see sort of a full circle experience, then you do you, I'll do me,
they do them,
so on. We let you operate, fully operate, but I guess you would have to be more, overall minded to say, hey, look, I want this to flow from not just from the preaching of the sermon, but to the music, down to this, down to that. Now, some people are just still way too traditional and they only focus on, but that's why you have other people saying, look, I want the artwork on the stage to look like what the presentation, you know, some preachers, they probably aren't there. And to me, those are your more creative leaders, pastors.
Yes.
Not everybody is that way. So
I think it boils down to, this is where politics, this is where churches can learn something from politicians. I know I'm going to take y'all there. During election season, once each party has selected its person, if you notice this, the message is the same. If whoever the candidate is for the Democratic side, everybody that does interviews on television has the same message. I don't care if it's the chairman of the Democratic Party. I don't care if it's the congresswoman, if it's the Democratic congressperson from Ohio, all the way down to the Democratic congressperson from Pennsylvania, to the Democratic senator from Alaska. They're all on the same message. Why? Because there was a meeting held and said, this is our theme for our campaign, and this is what we're pushing. You can go on TV, but this message is the one you need to be putting out there.
Yeah.
Because this is our theme. In church, you get a theme, and then here you go. So the theme is and then even with the theme, the themes have to be intentional. You just can't say the theme is love. Okay, in what aspect? Or the theme is or you know what I'm saying? Or the theme is the blessings of God. And okay, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It has to be intentional. You can't just say, because could you imagine standing, if you were a teacher, if you were a student, and then the teacher stands up and says, okay, your paper at the end of the month is going to be, I need you to write a paper on the blessings of God. Thank you. Have a good day. You'll be graded on this. So now I'm left to my own devices. And then when I turn my paper in, you mark it all up. Well, this is not what I intended. Well, bruh, you didn't give me no direction.
Yeah, that's
I think it's rather difficult, and you know probably more so have to find the balance between.
Well, bless God, we just got Donna Patrick Renee. She will be on the show calling in on Friday.
Oh well, bless him.
Thank you. Good. That's what you call some good work, boy. Yeah. If we were paying you, I'm gonna put a little bonus in your check. Put a little bonus. Put a little bonus. That's good work. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I cut you off.
Man, that is awesome. Yeah, and you can hear it from somebody who's doing it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who's seen it? And so, like I said, we got to look. This article is from 2003.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, man, some years have gone past, and I'm sure she has a lot more to share.
But it's still relevant.
And it's still relevant. And that's what I love about good observation.
Yeah.
Always going to be objective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's going to hit home, like, because we don't know it all. And I think the reason why we tend not to grow is because we avoid trying to learn how we can do better.
Mm.
You know, so we're only doing with what we know. But the moment somebody presents some material to you
mm-hmm.
that says this is going to help us cut 100 corners of mistakes that we'll make in our attempt to be the very best, you know, half it maybe be one or two people who sign up to read the book. The rest of them are not interested because we're not interested in being made accountable for the new information that we receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad part about life itself is that most of us, we're okay with just showing up on Sunday
mm-hmm.
with no other sort of progress in our spiritual growth with God. And it's a shame, and you know, and I'm sure that God desires for you to grow. The Bible continues to say that over and over again. But we need to get to a place where we're intentional about our Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
We're intentional about our praise and our worship to God. Intentional. I've been pushing the idea we need to learn how to have daily devotionals.
Yeah.
And these daily devotionals will lead up to a place when we show up on Sunday. The fire has already been in our belly.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we're not just starting here, but we are here because we've been here all week and God has been stirring us up all week. God has been planting, you know, his word in our hearts. And
mm-hmm.
so when we show up, look, even if something crazy goes wrong, here's what I know about devotion and being on one accord, that God can cause something to happen even in the midst of chaos where people can still be on one accord.
Mm.
You know why? Because we were already in devotion during the week. And so somebody says, well, God was speaking that same thing to me in my prayer time, and God was showing me the same thing in his word on one accord. But we show up. Like we show up for the corporate jobs.
Ooh, Lord.
Got a job to do, gotta go home.
My. That's good. I'm excited about that, man. That's good. I'm already in my head. I got a million questions.
Man.
Go ahead. Yeah.
90 seconds.
Go ahead.
So I'm actually working to push this idea. Y'all pray for me because we're going to try to get some projection going on in the place. And guess what? You know, when people are inconsistent with praise and worship, God will give you new ideas to make you consistent in worship.
Wow.
And so, look, if we have to have our stuff coming off of on the screen and
mm-hmm.
we all do it as a congregational hymn,
mm-hmm.
guess what? We're going to make sure we do what God has called us to do. Give praise, worship, thanks, thanksgiving to him every Sunday. But leading up to Sunday, we do it every day during the week.
That's good stuff. Look, y'all, man, it's been wonderful. We've had a wonderful week. It's been wonderful. Look, now, y'all, they said storm later on tonight. Again, if you have to come to the city tonight, if you have to go downtown, be prepared to be stuck because old girl here.
Oh, plus rain, plus?
Right, because old girl, you know, Beyonce. So traffic is finna be bogus if you have to be down up in that there area. But, man, we've had a wonderful week. Thank everybody for all your hard work this week. Thank you guys for listening, for chiming in on the whole grits conversation because we had emails about that and all of that stuff. My brother chimed in today. He's officially a member of Team Salt, which means Team Sugar. Kick Rock.
He's losing his battle.
They done. They only had one vote anyway. So they only had one vote. So, and that was our producer. Did great work today, but
Oh, she's a fan
she's
of...
She's a team, yeah, Team Sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I ain't mad
pray,
at you.
Pray, she needs deliverance. Pray for her.
Totally against the sugar, huh?
Now, on grits? Come on, man.
I said it's against the lot.
It is.
Even on the rice?
Yes. First of all, well, see, we ain't finna go there. I'm going to say that because I'm not one who believes rice is a breakfast food. So that's a whole nother conversation.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm a little. Yeah, I don't take rice as a breakfast food. I don't consider rice as part of my when I go down my top when I name 15 breakfast items, rice
it's
ain't in
the
them
list.
15. I can eat a whole lot of stuff before I get to rice.
Like some
man,
cocoa wheat.
No, ain't no. Did we get anybody? Did anybody know anything about cocoa wheat? Nobody responded to that mess, right? Nobody. Nah.
They know about it.
They just they
know
about it. You think they was ashamed?
You may not have used it, but you knew it was available.
They was ashamed to say they knew. They was ashamed to say they experienced cocoa wheat. Not cocoa puffs.
Cocoa
wheat.
So there's no bird. Was there a bird on there?
The cuckoo for the cuckoo bird.
No, he's not that.
Oh, you mean on the cocoa
yeah,
puff? No,
was there a little logo of a.
It was just no. It was just cocoa. Just C O.
Let me see this again.
I thought I saw something strange in the background.
No, ain't nothing on the background.
Oh, there's a kid or something.
What is it? A duck? What is that? Oh, some kids.
Oh, it is a little bird.
You need to go back.
Back
go back
house.
To the other one and then hit the view image so you can see it over there. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Let's get a blow up of this.
Oh, Lord. I'm done. Y'all can look up
birds.
Cocoa Puffs. Look up
a kid Puffs. And a bird. Cocoa. House.
I'm done. Done. Anyway, it's been a great week. What you got going on this weekend, Doc?
Oh, man. I'll be grilling tomorrow.
Oh,
Bolo grilling. So
really,
yeah.
What kind of
yeah.
grilling you doing, man? You barbecuing or you grilling? Because watch this now. Watch this. I'm gonna start something. You barbecuing or you grilling, Doc? What you grilling out south or over here?
South.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doing a little grilling slash barbecue. See, but I do very well with cooking the meats to the degree that you don't need any sauce.
Okay. All right.
My Lord. Look, now let me put you in on another secret. My meat is so good, you would think that I marinated it a night before, but I do it within the same hour.
Y'all hear that?
I'm telling you from people who said, man, it would take me a day to marinate the meat for this. No, I don't need that.
I don't know nothing about the barbecue ministry over here. I'm going to have to get a sample.
Look, all of the flavors have set down in that meat.
I'm going to need
lovely.
You. I'm going to need you to take a bone.
Look, aren't we doing the little cook-off thing? Remember that?
We were supposed to do that. I don't know what.
I mean, the weather is great for it now.
It is.
So.
It is about that time.
Yeah.
We can have that. You
we got
know,
some grills downstairs. All we need is to bring the equipment down.
TCLO Preachers cook.
Man.
Yeah, me, you, and Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got my dishes ready.
Oh, God. We could do that. Let me see if we can get we call Pastor Reggie Royal and Do and Gordon to get them brothers out here on some grills and see what happens.
Yes, sir.
That would be fun. That would be good. So you got that. So you're grilling.
Yeah, that's it.
You're still in the Book of Acts on Sunday.
I've taken a detour.
Okay.
I've gone as far as I'm going to go right now with the Book of Acts.
Okay.
So now I'm just really teaching on some stuff I think that we're at taught on trusting God during difficult times.
Okay.
And so what I found a way to do is talk more about more biblical examples versus being contextual, stuck in the contextual sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so using the different stories to draw the 3 points.
Okay.
So, you know, more of a topical sort of situation. So I'll be diving back into that. We'll be talking about why is it important to know the Word of God. And so I'll be drawing quite a few points from the Bible
That's good.
On that text. So What are you? What you got going?
I'm chilling, boss. I'm
no grilling, no barbecue.
I ain't doing no grilling. I ain't doing nothing. I ain't got no bowling this weekend. I'm kind of good. I'm chilling. And then Sunday I'll be here, you know, in the balcony, chilling.
How was last week?
It was fine. It was good.
How was service? Service went.
Service was, you know, it was fine. I don't know if you saw. You still get the email. Well, they haven't sent out email yet. Mother Pendleton passed away.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So that funeral is scheduled tentatively for Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I thought they would have had it this weekend.
On the weekend. Yeah.
But I guess because this is a holiday weekend and people are going to be going back and forth. And it's,
okay,
you know,
okay.
So I think it's tentatively scheduled for Thursday morning here. But, again, that has not been – I think I talked to Terry before I came up here, and he said they have a final meeting today.
Okay.
To lock everything in. So that's pretty much it. I don't have anything going on. Real quick, though, I did watch – there's a very good movie, and I think you would actually enjoy it. It's called Risen. It was just at the movie theater.
Wait, did I see Risen?
Did you go see Risen?
No, I saw Risen.
The one about from the Roman perspective.
Yeah, I saw Risen. I went to the show.
I watched
it
here Wednesday. Wow. I bought it. Bought it, and I watched it sitting up here Wednesday, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, because it goes from the Roman surgeon perspective.
Good movie. And you see, and I think it's a wonderful teaching movie.
Yeah.
Because it's a great evangelistic tool. It's a great tool about conversion. Because you watch him go through conversion. Because he didn't believe in our God at the beginning of the movie. But what I liked though, there was a part of the movie where he was supposed to go on to pray to his God, and while he was there, he said, Yahweh, God of the Jews. He started praying. I said, oh.
That's good.
Man.
I love it because it shows that not everybody will believe the message itself right then, right there. I love what he does. He's intrigued.
Yeah.
And he investigates.
Yep.
And that's what we need to do. We need to start investigating stuff. For
yeah.
Ourselves. So,
yeah.
Great stuff.
That's good. All right, man. Hey, could you pray us out, Doc?
Sure. Amen. Lord, we thank you for yet again another great opportunity to be here on this show. We thank you for the show, Lord. We thank you for life, our health. We thank you for our strength. We thank you for our partners and our friends and our faithful listeners here on this radio show, Lord. We pray that all that we have said, all that we've done, all we stand to do out of our hearts is for you, Lord. And so, God, we're praying that people are blessed by those things that are read, that are shared, that are spoken of, that are explained. Lord, continue to grow us, continue to shape us. Most importantly, God, continue to use things to point us back to you.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise your name. Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been Praise Break Friday here on TTLO, Taking Limits Off Radio. I've been here. It's been your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother in ministry, Pastor Devon Winer. We will see y'all Monday, same time, same channel. And remember, if you live in the city of Chicago, please, especially this weekend, man, you should have prayed for the Memorial Day weekend.
Well, we pray right now, God. And we ask that you would come in and lift up a standard against the enemy, Lord God. And we pray, God, that you will combat the violence, Lord, with love, and that calls church members to begin to share more and more about your loving grace and mercy. And Lord, allow us to connect with those who are unconnected to you right now. Lord, we pray that we have a wonderful holiday, that we are celebrating, and we're praying that we have no deaths, no shootings. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that. Because, man, I was reminded of the article last year where 54 people were shot
over
the Memorial Day weekend last year. So let's do me a favor, Chicago. Let's not break that record.
Pray. Y'all pray.
Right. Let's not break that record. But look, y'all, we out of here. And if you got to be out, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all say blessing. If you want to go ahead and stay on and get the praise on, I'm about to get mine for a few minutes. Go and get you some. I know y'all at work. Go ahead, praise it. Nothing different.